meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hi, everybody, and welcome. Hi, Christina.
Hi, Father.
I'm waiting for Tony. Nick over there on the other side. How are you doing? It seems like it's been a while since we've been on. A lot of things happening. There's just there's nothing I can do about it. It's just things come up and
life.
It's life is.
It's like a roller coaster.
Well, as in the movie Parenthood, I think it was. I don't know if you ever saw that movie with the comedian. I forget his name, but it goes back to the 1980s, and it was his family and just the chaos in the family and all that and. The father, this comedian, I wish I could remember his name, but anyway, there was this, the mother, his wife's mother, was an invalid, bound to a chair, basically. That's all. The only time you saw her, she was in a chair, mm-hmm. and she was more or less out of it, you know.
Just, in her own just, world.
In her own world, and she was just there, you know, but she was alive, you know, and saw the... Steve Martin, that's right, Steve Martin is the comedian. So the whole, and I don't remember a lot about the movie, but I remember this one part. So there's all this chaos, it's a big family, and or seemed to be a big family, and there was just the chaos of family and all that kind of stuff. And so toward the end of the movie, they're getting ready to go to the child's Christmas. It was either the Christmas pageant or play. These are great, you know, the kids are grade school students. It's either the Easter, it was a play, and so
sure.
Just trying to get everybody together and get him out of the house and into the car, into the school. And he was flustered and frustrated and all that, and he looked at the old woman who, through the whole movie, had never said anything, and he just looked at her and he just says, "How did you do it?" You know, not expecting a response. And she said, "Life is like a roller coaster. You've just got to go for the ride."
And that's it.
So then the next thing you know is they're at the play. He's sitting next to his wife. The son is doesn't remember his lines. He knocks over something on the set. You know, all this and. And he's so uptight, you know, very uptight, very anal in that sense, and he's uptight seeing his son.
And we can all relate to that.
Mess up the whole thing, and he looks over to his wife, and she's just she's got this big smile on her face, and then all of a sudden. He sees himself together with his wife on this roller coaster, and it's just like, okay, you just got to go for the ride. So, but no, it's life in the parish is so dramatic.
Dramatic. It's
and,
the ER.
Dynamic. And we've just had so many tragedies here, in addition to so many other things that come to the door. So I just got back from Miami because our operation director, Frank, his daughter, just died suddenly last week, and
very young,
34 years old. Erica, she was a teacher by profession. This year was her first year as a principal of the school. Had two children. It was just a very, very
unexpected,
very tragic. And we've had a lot of them. We've had, it just seems like since December,
it's been one
people
after
very
another,
close to the parish, And
sure.
And then just a week before that, which is why I wasn't on the radio
Tuesday.
That one Friday.
It
just
been, Friday,
it's been a while because I had
to
go to the cemetery. Well, that was...
For Tyrone.
That was not Tyrone. That was five funerals that week. But
oh,
this was,
Carla's father, yeah.
Father-in-law.
Yeah.
Her father, yeah. But they were all, these are all people that are very
close to
the inner workings of the parish and very much here at the rectory. So it's been one right after another. And then after that, Frank's daughter just died suddenly. And everything. Well, so anyway.
You know, death is hard as it is. You don't plan it. It's different when somebody's older, or has been terminally ill.
Right.
But when it's somebody that's young and it's unexpected, it's harder.
And with children.
And with children. Left behind than your husband, yes.
Her husband was a police officer, so there were, you can imagine, there were so many police officers and teachers, because she was a teacher, she was a principal, so there were a lot of...
A lot of colleagues there.
Yeah, a lot of colleagues, so it was, and in the family...
A big family.
And her grandmother was 91, is 91, Argentina, her name is, and just a very devout Catholic. And... very religious, and just and Erica and she were
very close,
and of course Frank too was on the phone with her every day, and you know we felt like we knew the family because we saw the like his grandson was a lector at the Mass for the school, and he was so proud of him, and you know even in the homily I said his name is Jake, I said Jake, we were all so proud of you when you did the reading at the Mass. You did such a great job, and I tried to,
make it more personal.
Exactly, yeah. But anyway, so I just got back, and so here we are. But let's...
pray.
So it just feels like we haven't been on the radio for a long time. Next week, by the way, Nick, so next, the 4th of July, it'll be a repeat... so next week's going to be... I can't believe it. We're almost in July? Is today the last day
of
June?
No, it's... Friday is the last day
tomorrow.
Of June. And July 1st is...
Which means summer's half over. So.
And then Sunday will be July 2nd.
What is going... Oh, your birthday. Happy birthday. That's right, Christina. I'm not going to ask you how old you... In fact, we were talking about that the other day, about you, about people's ages. And I keep... thinking, and we missed your birthday.
Oh,
Nick,
thank you.
Too.
Oh, Nick's birthday?
Yeah.
Oh, happy birthday, Nick.
That's
for
right.
Nick, too.
Happy
Nick.
Birthday,
happy
Nick.
Birthday,
we
Nick.
Missed your birthday. I was gone. That what? Because what day? What day was that? That was last week, I think.
Oh wow, we were not here.
June.
I'm terrible with birthdays.
June 18th, yeah.
June 18th.
Happy birthday, Nick.
I thought
somebody reminded me after the fact, and we haven't been on the radio since then. You know, so it's been
the
repeat.
Week before, no?
So happy birthday to Nick, and happy birthday to Christine. I was telling somebody, I said, when I think of Christine, I keep seeing her as this...
when I first started?
When you first started, like in your early 20s. Because the first time I actually met you was at the when you were in the band.
When
at
I was
the,
in high school.
In high school.
Yes.
Then when I first came here.
Yeah,
and,
high school. And teenager.
It was not too long after that that... I brought you in, I think, when I became pastor, right? So
yes, I was a teenager.
Yeah.
I barely turned 21 when I started.
When you started here, but that was after I became pastor, right? Because
I
became pastor in 1996, and I brought you in part time, I think.
Part time.
In the evening or something, and then and then full time, I think, right after that. Yeah.
But I will be 47.
I didn't mean to.
I don't mind saying age is just a number.
But
father,
that just, I just,
matter.
But I we were talking about that the other day, and I just
Tony's
hi, Tony. Oh, we're talking
about. Did
you say
47?
Yes,
47.
I'm gonna be 47.
So I just,
a baby.
We're 20 years apart.
I do feel like a baby. Yeah. Feel like a little girl.
But we were talking about that, and I said, you know, I don't see you any older than, I keep thinking of you as being in your early...
My 20s?
20s, yeah. So.
Well, thank you, Father.
Anyway. Yeah, that's I take that as a compliment.
I do take, I really do take that as a compliment.
It's just a number.
No, it's not a number. These days...
Although sometimes I feel like I'm 100.
Yeah, we all do.
Yeah.
We all do. And yet sometimes I feel like I'm 30 years old and I can do anything, you know, and it's, but anyway, there's a lot of little things I want to talk about today. We're going to be, well, let's pray. And because yeah. we are at the end of the great Pride Month of the Sacred Heart of Jesus,
the
Sacred yeah. Heart of Jesus, we'll pray the litany to the Sacred Heart as well as Divine Mercy and the Angelus. The prayers are so needed today, aren't they really?
Yeah.
Unbelievable. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it done unto me according to thy word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners. Now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Let us pray. Pour forth, we beseech you, Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we, to whom the incarnation of Christ, thy Son, was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection through the same Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world, for the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One,
Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One,
Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world. Jesus, I trust in you.
Jesus, I trust in you.
Jesus, I trust in you. Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us, increase your mercy in us that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. And we pray the litany to the most Sacred Heart of Jesus. Lord, have mercy on us.
Lord, have mercy on us.
Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ, hear us.
Christ, graciously hear us.
God, the Father of heaven,
have mercy on us.
God, the Son, Redeemer of the world,
have mercy on us.
God, the Holy Spirit,
have mercy on us.
Holy Trinity, one God,
Have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, Son of the Eternal Father.
Have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, formed by the Holy Spirit in the womb of the Virgin Mother.
Have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, substantially united to the Word of God.
Have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, of infinite majesty,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, sacred temple of God,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, tabernacle of the Most High,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, house of God and gate of heaven,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, burning furnace of love,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, abode of justice and love,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, full of goodness and love,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, abyss of all virtues,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, most worthy of all praise,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, king and center of all hearts,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, in whom are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, in whom dwells the fullness of divinity,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, in whom the Father was well pleased,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, of whose fullness we have all received,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, desire of the everlasting hills,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, patient and most merciful,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, enriching all who invoke you,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, a fountain of life and holiness,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, propitiation for our sins,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, loaded down with opprobrium,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, bruised for our offenses,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, obedient to death,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, pierced with a lance,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, source of all consolation,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, our life and resurrection,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, our peace and reconciliation,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, victim for our sins,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, salvation of those who trust in you,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, hope of those who die in you,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, delight of all the saints,
have mercy on us.
Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world,
spare us, O Lord.
Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world,
graciously hear us, O Lord.
Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world,
have mercy on us.
Jesus, meek and humble of heart, make our hearts like unto yours. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, look upon the heart of your most beloved Son, and upon the praises and satisfaction which he offers you in the name of sinners. And to those who implore your mercy and your great goodness, grant forgiveness. In the name of the same Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you forever and ever.
Amen.
O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
Saint Joseph,
Pray for us.
St. Peter and St. Paul,
pray for us.
St. Michael the Archangel,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And today is a feast. Hi, Tony. Welcome. We've already been there. Done that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, done that. Been there, done that.
Today's a feast of St. Peter and Paul, with an emphasis on their martyrdom, that they held nothing back in giving themselves over to Jesus. There's a couple of things I want to talk about, and I have to say this because I read this to you. This is a what they call the Sparkle Creed.
Oh no! Please don't do this.
No, I have to. You know, the reason why I have to is because there's a point where we cannot.
Yeah.
There's something really nefarious going on. I watched a documentary last night. I'd come back from Miami. Actually had the confessions in mass. Not last night. That was... Was it Tuesday? Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
But I watched a documentary. Oh, because Wednesday night I have Father Edward comes in. Father Michael used to come in for the mass. So that's kind of the one day that I try to get a break, and usually I have appointments now in summer, so things are not, I try not to have an appointment, but we usually have certain meetings that we have to, like, for the catechesis and all that, so finance, so all that takes place on a Wednesday because I can be there. But now that we're in summer, hard to believe we're in the 4th of July weekend.
Believe it or not.
Already.
It just hit me today, you know, but this is the end of Pride Month, and not Pride in the Sacred Heart. That's what we celebrate, the month of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Eucharistic Heart of Jesus, the Sacred Heart, one and the same thing. But I watched a documentary last night from Epoch Times, and it's if people can take a look at it, please do. And I should have. It has to do with transgenderism and the witnesses of many who have gone through the transition, and it didn't heal the sickness, this dysphoria. But you got to follow the money, and they track the money, and they show how these young people, very young people, are being so they're suffering a sickness, and nobody goes through life unscathed. Everybody's got things they've got to deal with in the course of a life journey, but to affirm a falsehood and not acknowledge the sickness and deal with the psychological problem that is present, they rather embrace them, bring them into a quote-unquote loving community, even to the point that they take them away from their families. And there was the incident of one girl, I've listened to her mother several times, but she's in the documentary as well. Her daughter was confused, depressed, transitioned from female to male at a very, very young age. She was a teenager in high school. And it just, how that child was taken away from her parents because this community kind of, it's like these wolves that come to devour, to bring her into this loving, quote-unquote, loving community, to give her support and convince her that she's that the fact that her parents don't allow her to change her name or acknowledge her as a boy and all this kind of stuff. And so anyway, she was taken away from her home because her parents were considered to be abusive and put into a place where these people support each other, and actually she was made the full transition, ended up throwing herself in front of a train after the fact. And they had the witnesses of many others who went through the transition, and they give their witness or testimony. They give you the history of how this all happened, how they were manipulated, how they, you know, in other words, the sickness wasn't treated, but it was, if you think you're a boy, then you are. And we have to honor, respect, celebrate that. And if this is going to, and we got to make you happy. And they use this, and this came up over and over, and I've heard it before that. So if you, to the parents, do you want a dead daughter or a happy son?
Wow.
And so they toy with the minds of the parents, mm-hmm. as well, and put them on this horrible guilt trip. Mm-hmm. And so this one poor woman whose daughter committed suicide and who is now an advocate and trying to bring the light together with others. And even they had testimony of some of the people who were part of this, psychologists and the like, who were part of this, supporting this, and realized that they were doing a grave harm to these young people, and regret that they were part of this. And but again, you got to follow the money, and I'm not going to go into all the details, but it's just this is a major money-making industry. And you're getting people, young people, at very vulnerable, in an age of innocence. And this is happening in a big way. We've talked about it, but the church cannot you know, we yes. You know, as I mentioned, I think I mentioned, you know, with our eighth graders, toward the end of the year, I gave them an opportunity to ask questions anonymously. So they put questions in a box, and then I would take one question after another. And so much of it was centered around the LGBT stuff, and you know, the first question is why does the church hate gay people, or why does the church hate LGBTQ people? And my immediate response was, who told you that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Who told you that the church hated that? See, they try to, just as much as these counselors and psychologists and doctors and all that try to convince these people that are in deep pain, convincing them that their parents obviously are abusing them, mm-hmm. for not accepting them as, you know, not wanting to call them by their pronoun, mm-hmm. or their new name, you know. But you gotta follow the money. But the fact that they're trying to infiltrate, or they have infiltrated many of the churches. This is dividing churches.
Dividing everything.
They're trying to bring this into the Catholic Church, and you've got priests and bishops who are supporting this. And I'm wondering, you know, are they not reading deeper into the issue here?
Nope.
Because the church would never even use those identifications as LGBTQ, you know, all that kind of stuff. But in many of the mainline Protestant churches, this has been really, because they don't have the same authority we have. We have to pray for our authority, pray for the Pope and the Cardinals and the bishops, especially as we're going into this synod on synodality, which is about, you know, to listen, to dialogue, and to accompany. But in any case, this is, I want to read this to you because I heard it this morning. And then
I know what you're going to read, and I just wanted to say this. When I first heard this, the first thing that came to my mind is what you say, how you can tell something is wrong or evil when you see the devil take something sacred and turn it around.
Absolutely.
So I had to say it, because it's the first thing. Yep. I had to listen to it because, you know, I couldn't turn off the radio. But when I heard this, that's all I could
Did you hear it today?
I heard it yesterday.
Yesterday,
or the day before.
I just heard it today.
Yeah.
So then I had to download it to see, because I didn't know, am I hearing this right?
Yeah, you're hearing it right, and everyone else will.
And so this creed, so, you know, we have the creed that we pray at the Mass, and the mainline churches pray the creed as well, our profession of faith. Mm-hmm. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried, descended into hell, on the third day rose from the dead, ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. That's the Apostles' Creed. Then there's the Nicene Creed, which is a more extensive. But
that's
most of them,
basically what we believe.
That's the 12 creeds of our profession of faith, and so even when the Protestants, because it comes from the Apostles, it's the Apostle Creed. So even the mainline Protestant churches would pray the same creed, and a Catholic, one holy Catholic apostolic, people get confused with Catholic, but they're, well, it's Catholic with a little C, meaning a universal church. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, as Jesus begged that we not do, the church becomes very divided because Satan wants the division of the church. And so when you talk about the diabolical, mm-hmm. but this is, so this was, and this actually, I didn't realize this creed was written in, the creed was written by a woman pastor in the United Church of Christ.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Now this was the, this is the creed. So it's been a creed that's been read or prayed, a profession of faith that has been been popularized in these different churches. Not in the whole. In this case, it's the Lutheran Church, but mm-hmm. it's a individual. It's like if I do well. It's like, Kitty Corder from here, on Father's Day, two gay men, in a marriage, gave the homily at a parish, to the standing, and the whole congregation stood up and applauded.
Yep.
First of all, you know, only the priest or deacon can do a homily, but to have on Father's Day two men give the homily, you see how that creates a division, because then there are those of us who are love the dogma, the doctrine, what's been handed down to us. We understand the distinctions. We understand that God is a God of order. We live in a disordered world, and yes, of course, as I had written a letter the other night, I didn't put out because I thought, you know, better wise, prudent thing not to put it out. But I said, you know, it's I had written that, you know, I may come around to that, but we have to think in terms of distinctions that create harmony and order in a disordered world. Otherwise, we lose all relevancy.
Right.
So this was this comes from Eden Community Lutheran Church. This past Sunday, they recited the creed together, which was the final Sunday to occur during LGBTQ+ Pride Month. The recitation was led by Anna Helgen, who is a co-pastor of the congregation. This is the ECLC. She's a member of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, and has been part of the denomination's Reconciling in Christ initiative, which seeks to foster the full welcome, inclusion, and equity of lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, intersex, and asexual, aromantic.
Oh my goodness!
You know,
WXYZ.
I can't even get. You know what?
That's LGBTQIA+, and then there's all these.
I can't even get that, and it's all this stuff added to it.
Yeah. It's too much.
So she says, I invite you to rise in body or spirit, and let us confess our faith today, in the words of the creed, the Sparkle Creed. And she, this is how it goes. The full creed is as follows. I believe in the non-binary God whose pronouns are plural. I believe in Jesus Christ, their child, who wore a fabulous tunic and had two dads and saw everyone as a sibling child of God. I believe in the rainbow spirit who shatters our image of the one white light and refracts it into a rainbow of gorgeous diversity. I believe in the church of everyday saints as numerous, creative, and resilient as patches on the AIDS quilt, whose feet are grounded in mud and whose eyes gaze at the stars in wonder. I believe in the calling of each of us, that love is love is love. So, beloved, let us love. I believe, glorious God, help my unbelief. Amen.
Oh my gosh!
Can you believe that?
That reminds me of like Twinkle Twinkle Little Star, you know, that kind of stuff. You know, it's like a cartoon or something. I don't know.
The author of this article that I'm reading from, Dale Chamberlain, said, "This is liturgical malpractice."
It's terrible.
I think it's sacrilege too.
Yeah,
it's completely
it
sacrilegious.
It's,
that's a creation. I mean.
And you know, how do I say this? There was a time in my life, and I'm sure there's many, that you listen to this and you say, okay, it doesn't affect me. Let them live, like my mom used to say, let them live. First of all, for someone to have done that, they had to have had the original creed. And in
it's
like a mockery.
It's a very the same thing that happened with the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm at the point where
I don't like the fact that we keep talking about this, but the fact is, as long as it's in our face, and we're being manipulated, And we're being, I mean, talk about being pushed to the fringe of society.
Yeah.
But there's a point where people are saying, you know, no, you know, be who you have to be, do what you have to do, but because what's lacking here, you see, mm-hmm. with this whole, and again, I've said it before, but when we redefined marriage,
yeah,
legislated for the redefinition of marriage,
you opened the door for all of this.
It was the Pandora's mm-hmm. box that mm-hmm. opened the door, and where does this end?
It doesn't.
Where does this end? And the only, the impediment to all this is adherence to Judeo-Christianity as it's been handed down to us. And that's why we have to pray, you know, that as the church moves into this synod on synodality, accompany, dialogue, inclusion, what does that mean? How does that translate? Because nobody has the authority to redefine the dogmas and the doctrines of the church or rewrite the commandments of God. Nobody has that right. Do we have in our parish transgender people, homosexuals, or whatever? Well, of course I'm. What's lacking is humility on the part of this. I've heard from people who have this inclination to homosexuality and the like, who are appalled by what's going on as well. They know what they're dealing with. They strive to stay on a narrow path, because I hear confessions. Mm-hmm. You know, people come and talk to me. I deal with all. So it's and they know that we're not here to condemn to hell anybody. We can't do that. But we're all called to a high standard, mm-hmm. and everybody has to make sacrifice. Our love is you know, this is the superficiality of the love. Mm. You know, that's our creed.
Love is
love is. I remember as
what does that mean?
As I tried to explain to our people and I thought it was a very well written letter. It happened to be during that time when they were legislating for the redefinition of marriage, and I tried to explain, you know, why we can't support this.
Mm-hmm.
It just happened at that Sunday, it was a wedding feast at Cana in Galilee. So I connected Cana with the cross and the nuptial God wedded to his people, Jesus, the bridegroom, the Blessed Mother, the bride, you know, at the wedding feast, she says, woman, she says, you know, they have no wine. He says, woman, why does this concern you? And she just looks to the stewards and says, do what he tells you to do. And she initiates his mission to the hour, because he says the hour has not yet come. The only other time we see her is at the cross. And again there he says, woman, behold your son, referring to John, who represents all the disciples of Christ. And he says, son, behold your mother. And so that in a deeply mystical and symbolic and symbolic in a big sense, in a deep sense, in a reality that is being communicated, that God is now wedded to his body, the church, because Mary represents the church, which is the bride of Christ, and for this marriage to happen, you need man and woman, and the marriage is consummated at the cross when the prophecy is fulfilled. That daughter Zion, mother Israel, would give birth to children. She would suffer the pain of labor and give birth to children she never conceived. So I've mentioned this many, many times. God the Father, repeat again from John's Gospel, because all this is in John's Gospel. God the Father so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, not to condemn, but to save the world. People chose rather the darkness. He chose not to come into the light for fear their deeds be exposed. He sent his only begotten Son to adopt us into this family, into this mystical body, the church. He founded the church. And at the cross, that the messianic people are born, were adopted, and to solidify the family, because this is before the great great gift of our salvation was the fact that Jesus handed his mother over to us as our mother, and she is symbolically, you know, the sword has pierced her heart. She's suffering the pain of labor there at the foot of the cross, giving birth to children she never conceived in a moment's time, because we're born through the blood of the cross. I hope you can wrap that around your head, but it's about the nuptial, the marriage, the distinctions between man and man and woman. So it is a mockery, and we, if we adhere to who, if we adhere to what's been handed down to us, then we are an impediment to the agenda. And as a Blessed Mother said, and I've got an article here too on apparitions and revelation. There's no new revelation. With the apostolic era, all revelation, everything has been fully revealed, not fully realized. Like the kingdom is come, but it's not fully realized until we pass from this life to the next, until the world passes away. But through the church's history, there's the element of the mysticism, the transcendence, in other words, God, the mystics who, you know, where do we get the devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, or the Eucharistic Heart of Jesus? I was reading a beautiful article today on all this, and part of the crisis in the church today, among perhaps prelates and priests and even theologians, is a lack of belief in the mystical, in the supernatural. And yet all down through church history, these revelations that have come to individuals like St. Mary Margaret Alacoque, but there's a whole litany of others, St. Maria Faustina Kowalska, or you think of the children of Fatima, you know, Our Lady came to them with a message. Those are supernatural events. And so the article ended, do priests believe anymore in the supernatural? And so it brings us right to the heart of the faith, which is the Holy Eucharist. Because it is a tragedy that two-thirds of Catholics no longer believe that bread and wine really become the body and the blood, the soul and divinity of Christ, because they haven't been catechized, obviously, which begs the question, do we as priests believe, you know, in the real presence? And if we morph the Mass away from the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist, which is a perpetuation of the Messianic hour, then we have to put the emphasis on the people, and it becomes a kind of pure or mere humanism, you know, and void of the mystery, the mysticism. And so you get the point that I'm trying to make. It boils down to really our faith in what God has handed down to us, and how God reaffirms through history, through the saints, the mystics, the saints, the prophets that he raises up through history, to not add anything new to what's been revealed, but to deepen our understanding of what's been revealed. Or if we've veered away from what's been revealed, and one of the things in our day and time, when one understands it, because there's so many innocent people who are so confused, and these poor kids on this documentary, who are many of them are now adults, going back and reflecting on what was done to them and how they fully gave themselves fully over to this this religion, mm-hmm. cult, if you want to call it that. Yeah. And the damage was deepened, but in a time like this, one understands why through the mystics like Saint Maria Faustina Kowalska, the Lord would reemphasize for the entire church his greatest attribute, which is mercy, because we're very much in need of God's mercy right now, And so anyway, we'll take a break and come back and I'll expound a little bit more on this. So everybody, stay with us, Uncle Wayne and Father Anthony, on Winds of Change on the new EWTN Catholic Radio Voice for Chicagoland on AM 750 WNDZ and on 88.5 FM WSFI.
I'm Dr. Peter Howard, founder of the Fulton Sheen Movement. On July 9th, join me and Father Tom Loya at Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Church in Homer Glen for an historic rally to fan the flame of love and devotion to Venerable Fulton Sheen. We need Fulton Sheen's intercession and guidance now more than ever. We're gathering to pray for his cause and especially for the Holy Spirit to move the church to set a new date for his beatification. Starting at 10 a.m., come and pray with us. Enjoy a delicious cookout and hear inspiring talks on Sheen by Father Loya and myself. Activities are planned for the whole family. Go to FultonSheenMovement.com for a complete schedule and to sign our global petition to unpause the cause of this great prophet for our times. Co-sponsored by WFSI, this rally is your chance to make a difference. I'll see you all on July 9th.
Bye now, and God love you.
I'm Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and you are listening to the Winds of Change.
Sometimes it's tough to hear Winds of Change over the air, what with tall buildings, power lines, and other static. Now you can hear Winds of Change anywhere, anytime, or on any device. When Winds of Change is on the air, Monday through Friday, noon to 1, go to ststandschurch.org. Scroll down to the Winds of Change tile and click on the Listen Live button or visit Winds of Change Facebook page to see the Listen Live link. St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy is conveniently located one block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststandschicago.org. ststandschicago.org.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change with Tony and Christina, Nick over there. Yeah, so we're passing through some really, really strange times. And, you know, as it's in some cases, our leaders, you know, call us adults, but speak to us as children. Jesus, on the other hand, he called us children, but speaks to us as adults. There seems to be these two ideologies in the church today that are diametrically opposed one to another. For those of us who hold to the dogmas and the doctrines and to what's been handed down to us, to the full counsel of God as revealed in sacred scripture and our sacred tradition, because St. Paul says, you know, when convenient, when inconvenient, in season, out of season, you've got to proclaim the truth. Again, St. Paul, when he left Ephesus, I've said this many times, he told the presbyterate, I'm leaving with a clean conscience because I didn't withhold from you the full counsel of God, but you need to know the wolves are coming from without and are going to come from within. Jesus said, you know, to Peter, I pray for you that you, in turn, you strengthen your brothers because you need to know that Satan means to sift you all like wheat. Strike the shepherd and the sheep scatter. We really have to pray for our church leaders. We got to pray for the Pope, for the cardinals, the bishops, for the priests, for the deacons, those who are in positions of leadership, the shepherds, so to speak. Not just so to speak, yes, they are the shepherds. We are the shepherds. But for those of us who practice sacrificial love and imperfectly, I admit, imperfectly strive to live the full counsel of God, we often feel like strangers in a foreign land, and the persecution comes to us from without. It comes from outside the church as well as within the church. It's always been. Could it be that this is the white martyrdom the saints spoke about as characteristic of the end of an era. You know, just well, I gave the example already, so I'm not going to do it again. But I do want to say, you know, as pastor, because the whole synod on synodality is about dialogue, accompany to listen to accompany. As a pastor, I've been in dialogue with the people entrusted to my care. I've listened to them. I accompany them. Isn't this the mission of a pastor? Should be a no-brainer. But never, never, never at the expense of what the Lord has handed down to us. A mere humanism at the expense of the mystical and supernatural reality of the church's worship, her belief, and her lived experience leads us into a utopian reality that will implode within itself. There is a great cost to discipleship in Christ Jesus. The Lord clearly stated this throughout the Gospels. He ended his farewell discourse before his descent to the Garden of Gethsemane with these sobering words: "In this world you will have trouble, but take courage and be at peace. I've conquered the world." And to those he spoke, all were martyred, save John. It just seems to me that we're at a crossroads, and Catholics who hold to the faith of the ancients of old must not relegate themselves to the sidelines as spectators looking in. But we've got to get into the sacred drama, a declaration in word and deed that we are with the Lord and we will suffer the faith for the sake of our sanctity and salvation, as well as that of those we love, which would include the whole of humankind. And I'm saying this on the feast of St. Peter and Paul. As God says of himself, he is a demanding God. He is not permissive. The call to repentance, conversion, metanoia, transformation, and sanctification are necessary for salvation. It's no wonder that God wishes to make known his greatest attribute, which is mercy, in this time of great confusion when clarity is most needed. Let us not make a mess of the church, but bring sanity and civility back to a deeply wounded church, the mystical body of Christ, which is bleeding members for the reluctance of proclaiming truth and proclaiming truth in charity. We need a holy church. We ask God, raise up the saints in our day and in our time. You know, this synod on synodality without a clear appreciation for the messianic hour, which is Calvary, the suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus, perpetuated on the altar of sacrifice, bringing us to holy communion and service rendered one to another in truth. Without a clear appreciation for this, synod on synodality will end up as the ongoing machinations of the enemies of Christ, a further thrust into diabolical disorientation. May the Lord and Our Lady, may they come to our aid, to the aid of those who seek fidelity to the faith. I just read the Mark Twain's book, Joan of Arc. Mm. May we have to respond like St. Joan of Arc when put to the test by the very church she loved. Prelates, priests, and theologians tried to trick her and trap her, asking whether or not, this was one of the traps, whether or not she was in a state of grace. And see, all this was documented, it was all recorded. Whether or not she was in a state of grace to trap her. And she answered, "If I am not, I ask God to place me in his grace. If I am, I ask that he keep me in his grace." Nonetheless, she was burned at the stake, loving the church and kissing the crucifix of her Lord and Savior in spite of those who betrayed her and sold her out, leaders both ecclesial and secular. My friends, you know, we cannot really, because this is what we do not be gaslighted into thinking we are unloving and rigid because we hold to the truth. Remember the words of St. Paul to Timothy. What did he say? What did he write? And boy, do we need to hear it today. I charge you. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in kingly power, proclaim the word. Be persistent, whether it is convenient or inconvenient, for the time will come when people will not tolerate sound doctrine, but following their own desires and insatiable curiosity will accumulate teachers and will stop listening to the truth and will be diverted to myths. But you, be self-possessed in all circumstances, put up with hardship, fulfill your ministry. Stay the course. Keep the faith. Be steadfast and uphold our faith in truth, in beauty, and goodness. These are the hallmarks of Christianity. And yes, as Jesus said, the gates of hell shall not prevail. Or as I consider him a saint, but he's not yet been declared a saint, but as Pope Benedict so prophetically stated, the false deities, the false gods, will be unmasked through the suffering faith of simple believers. And by the way, as I'm saying that, I'm thinking of all those people that were in this documentary who are suffering the faith because they were duped by false deities. Duped by false deities. And yes, do they not suffer the faith? Simple believers. Really, we suffer the faith in our day and in our time. To whom do we lean? We lean into Christ Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life, and we stand firm in his mystical body, the Holy Church. Just by way of conclusion, when I was in Miami at the wake, toward the end of the wake, the police chaplain came in, and we talked for quite some time, and he's Baptist, I'm a Catholic, and he said, what's happening? What's happening? And my God, we were on the same page. You know, I don't want to go into the details and all that, but how many of his parishioners, he said, he actually said 40% of his congregation are Catholics, and they're confused as to what is happening in the church. And he said, I'm confused, because he says, believe it or not, we look to the Pope, to your leadership. We actually do, he said. And we're just a bit confused as well as to what is happening. And of course, you know, this, nobody goes through this unscathed. All the Christian denominations, we're not a denomination, we are the Mother Church. That's why they look to us, you know. But the infiltration. But again, Jesus didn't deceive us in saying it would be this way. You know, again, Peter, I pray for you. You strengthen your brothers, because you need to know that Satan means to sift you all like wheat, strike the shepherd, the sheep scatter. We pray the Holy Mother of God bid us go to her Son and fight for love of her children. Thanks for being with us. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Peace
Amen.
Be with you. Ciao.
Meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide the wind.